Page 122. Chapter 60. How Sir Tristram with his fellowship came and were with an host which after fought with Sir Tristram, and other matters. Then departed Sir Tristram, Gareth, and Sir Dinadan, and left Sir Palomides in the vessel. And so Sir Tristram beheld the mariners, how they sailed over Long Humber. And when Sir Palomides was out of their sight, they took their horses and beheld about them. And then they were aware of a knight that came riding against them unarmed, and nothing about him but a sword. And when this knight came nigh them, he saluted them, and they him again. "Fair knight," said that knight, "I pray you, insomuch as ye be knights errant, that ye will come and see my castle, and take such as ye find there, I pray you heartily." And so they rode with him until his castle, and there they were brought unto the hall, that was well apparelled, and so they were there unarmed, and set at a board. And when this knight saw Sir Tristram, anon he knew him, and then this knight waxed pale and wroth at Sir Tristram. When Sir Tristram saw his host make such cheer, he marvelled, and said, "Sir, mine host, what cheer make you?" "Wilt thou well," said he, "I fare the worse for thee, for I know thee, Sir Tristram de Lyonesse. Thou slewest my brother, and therefore I give thee summons, I will slay thee, and ever I may get thee at large." "Sir knight," said Sir Tristram, "I am never advised that I ever slew any brother of yours, and if ye say that I did, I will make amends unto my power." "I will none amends," said the knight, "but keep thee from me." So when he had dined, Sir Tristram asked his arms, and departed. And so they rode on their ways, and within a while Sir Dinadan saw where came a knight well armed and well horsed without shield. "Sir Tristram," said Sir Dinadan, "take keep to yourself, for I dare understand yonder cometh your host that will have ado with you." Page 123. "Let him come," said Sir Tristram, "I shall abide him as well as I may." And on the night when he came nigh, "Sir Tristram," he cried, and bade him abide and keep him. So they hurtled together. But Sir Tristram smote the other knight so sore that he bare took him over his horse's croup. That knight rose lightly and took his horse again, and so rode fiercely to Sir Tristram, smote him twice hard upon the helm. "Sir knight," said Sir Tristram, "I pray you leave off and smite me no more, for I would be loath to deal with you, and I might choose, for I have your meat and drink within me, within my body. For all that he would not leave, and then Sir Tristram gave him such a buffet upon the helm, that he fell up so down from his horse, and the blood brast out at the ventails of his helm, and so he lay still, like to be dead. Ventails, vents. Return to text. Then Sir Tristram said, "Me repenteth of this buffet that I saw smote so sore, for as I suppose he is dead." And so they left him and rode on their ways. So they had not ridden but a while, but they saw riding against them two full likely knights, well armed and well horsed, and good servants about them. The one was Berrant le Apres, and he was called the King with the 100 knights, and the other was Sir Segwarides. They were renowned two noble knights. So as they came, either by the other, the king looked upon Sir Dinadan, but at that time he had Sir Tristram's helm upon his shoulder, the which helm the king had seen tofore with the queen of the Northgales, and that queen the king loved as a paramour, and that helm the queen of Northgales had given to La Beale Isoud, and the queen La Beale Isoud gave it to Sir Tristram. "Sir knight," said Berrant, "where had he that helm?" "What would he?" said Sir Dinadan. "For I will have ado with thee," said the king, "for the love of her that owed that helm, and therefore keep you." Page 124. So they departed and came together with all their mights of their horses, and there the king with the 100 knights smote Sir Dinadan, horse and all, to the earth. And then he commanded his servant, "Go and take thou his helm off, and keep it." So the varlet went to unbuckle his helm. "What helm? What wilt thou do?" said Sir Tristram. "Leave that helm." "To what intent?" said the king. "Will ye, Sir Knight, meddle with that helm?" "Wit thou well," said Tristram, "that helm shall not depart from me, or it be dearer bought." "That then make you ready," said Sir Berrant unto Sir Tristram. So they hurtled together, and there Sir Tristram smote him down over his horse's tail. And then the king arose lightly and gat his horse lightly again. And then he struck fiercely at Sir Tristram many great strokes. And then Sir Tristram gave Sir Berrant such a buffet upon the helm that he fell down over his horse sore stonied. "Lo," said Sir Dinadan, "that helm is unhappy with us twain, for I have had a fall for it, and now, Sir King, have ye another fall." Then Segwarides asked, "Who shall joust with me?" "I pray thee," said Gareth unto Dinadan, "let me have this joust." "Sir," said Dinadan, "I pray you, take it as from me." "That is no reason," said Tristram, "for this joust should be yours." "At a word," said Dinadan, "I will not thereof." Then Gareth dressed him to Sir Segwarides, and there Sir Segwarides smote Gareth and his horse to the earth. "Now," said Sir Tristram to Dinadan, "joust with yonder knight." "I will not thereof," said Dinadan. "Then I will," said Sir Tristram. And then Sir Tristram ran to him and gave him a fall, and so they left them on foot, and Sir Tristram rode into Joyous Gard. And there Sir Gareth would not of his courtesy have gone into this castle, but Sir Tristram would not suffer him to depart. Page 125. And so they alit and unarmed them, and had great cheer. But when Dinadan came afore La Beale Isoud, he cursed the time that ever he bare Sir Tristram's helm. And there he told her how Sir Tristram had mocked him. Then was there laughing and japing at Sir Dinadan, that they wist not what to do with him. Chapter 61. How Palomides went for to fight with two brethren for the death of King Erymance. Now will we leave them merry within Joyous Gard, and speak we of Sir Palomides. Then Sir Palomides sailed even long Humber to the coasts of the sea, where was a fair castle. And at that time it was early in the morning afore day. Then the mariners went into Sir Palomides that slept fast. "Sir knight," said the mariners, "ye must arise, for here is a castle that ye must go into." "I assent me," said Sir Palomides, and therewithal he arrived. And then he blew his horn that the mariners had given him. And when they within the castle heard that horn, they put forth many knights, and there they stood upon the walls, and said with one voice, "Welcome be ye to this castle." And then it waxed clear day, and Sir Palomides entered into the castle. And within a while he was served with many divers meat. And then Sir Palomides heard about him much weeping and great dole. "What may this mean?" said Sir Palomides. "I love not to hear such a sorrow, and fain I would not know what it meaneth." Then there came before him one whose name was Sir Abel, and he said thus, "Wit ye well, Sir Knight, this dole and sorrow is here made every day, and for this cause. We had a king that hight Erymance, and he was a king of the Red City. And this king that was lord was a noble knight, large and liberal of his expense." Page 126. "And in the world he loved nothing so much as he did errant knights of King Arthur's court, and all jousting, hunting, and all manner of knightly games, for so kind a king and knight had never made the rule of poor people as he was. And because of his goodness and gentleness we bemoan him, and ever shall. And all kings and estates may beware by our Lord, for he was destroyed in his own default. For had he cherished them of his blood, he had yet lived with great riches and rest. But all estates may beware by our king. But alas," said Abel, "that we shall give all other warnings by his death." "Tell me," said Sir Palomides, "and in what manner was your lord slain, and by whom?" "Sir," said Sir Abel, "our king brought up children two men that now are perilous knights. And these two knights our king had so in charity that he loved no man nor trusted no man of his blood, nor none other that was about him. And by these two knights our king was governed, and so they ruled him peaceably and his lands, and never would they suffer none of his blood to have no rule with our king. And also he was so free and so gentle, and they so false and deceivable, that they ruled him peaceably, and that espied the lords of our king's blood, and departed from him into their own livelihood. Then when these two traitors understood that they had driven all the lords of his blood from him, they were not pleased with that rule. But when they thought to have more as ever, it is an old saw, give a churl rule, and thereby he shall not be sufficed. For whatsoever he be that is ruled by a villain born, and the lord of the soil to be a gentleman born, that same villain shall destroy all the gentlemen about him. Therefore, all estates and lords, beware whom ye take about you. And if ye be a knight of King Arthur's court, remember this tale, for this is the end and conclusion. My lord and king rode unto the forest hereby, by the advice of these traitors, and there he chased at the red deer, armed at all pieces, full like a good knight. And so for labour he waxed dry, and then he alit, and drank at a well. And when he was alit, by the assent of these two traitors, that one that hight Helius, he suddenly smote our king through the body with a spear, and so they left him there. Page 127. And when they were departed, then by fortune I came to the well, and found my lord and king wounded to the death. And when I heard his complaint, I let bring him to the waterside, and in that same ship I put him alive. And when my lord King Erymance was in that vessel, he required me for the true faith I owed unto him for to write a letter in this manner. Chapter 62. The copy of the letter written for to revenge the king's death, and how Sir Palomides fought to have the battle. Recommending unto King Arthur and to all his knights errant, beseeching them all that insomuch as I, King Erymance, King of the Red City, thus am slain by felony and treason, through two knights of mine own, and of my own bringing up, and of my own making, that some worshipful knight will revenge my death, insomuch I have been ever to my power well willing into Arthur's court. And who that will adventure his life with these two traitors for my sake in one battle, I, King Erymance, King of the Red City, freely give him all my lands and rents that ever I wielded in my life. This letter, said Abel, I wrote by my lord's commandment, and then he received his creator. And when he was dead, he commanded me, or ever he were cold, to put that letter fast in his hand. And then he commanded me to put forth that same vessel down Humber, and I should give these mariners in commandment never to stint until they had come upon Logris, where all the noble knights shall assemble at this time. And there shall some good knight have pity on me to revenge my death, for there was never king nor lord falselier, nor traitorlier slain than I am here to my death. Thus was the complaint of our King Erymance. Now, said Sir Abel, ye know all how our lord was betrayed. We require you, for God's sake, have pity upon his death, and worshipfully revenge his death, and then may ye wield all these lands.